5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sink.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 233. Of the TTV podcast. I'm Vessel.
I'm Broderan.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ben.
I'm Fleffy.
And I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
Oh, whoa.
Okay, I see how it is. You think that just because everyone thinks I'm you, you can be me?
Yeah, give I'm Takuma Nuba.
Yeah, okay, and I am totally Tenebrae Invictus.
Yep, good swap. Right.
Formerly known as Alive.
Some people are actually genuinely confused right now. Some listeners are just like, what? But I thought, what's going on? That's what they're thinking. Thanks,
I thought that was Mange, and actually, they wouldn't know who Mange is.
My name's Mardi Gras!
Hey, Mardi Gras, what's up? It's been a while since I talked to you.
My mom died!
Oh. You sound like...
Oh. Okay. And on the news this week.
I didn't like her anyway!
You sound like Grandpa Simpson.
And
he sounds like Mardi Gras.
It's gonna rain!
Thanks, Ollie.
If you do that, they'll kill Grandpa. I'm part of the mob!
Don't kill Grandpa.
It already rained! What? My house away! I have nowhere to live!
What is this voice?
It's Mardi Gras, dude. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the Microsoft Texas speech thing. You know, you know, when you turn up the pitch really high. Yeah, yeah. Like one of the characters is in Reviving
My Onagle. For Reviving My Onagle!
Exactly.
I can see it.
What is on the news this week?
Nope, we're not doing that.
I'll pay you $50 to do that for the rest of the episode.
Are you being serious right now?
No, I won't.
Oh,
I'm not purple.
Never again.
She delivered, though. I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, I could promise, but I wouldn't deliver.
That was pretty nice. No,
what did you spend the $50 on?
Yeah, what did you spend it on?
I don't remember. I think I paid off my credit card with it.
Well, hey,
that's not too bad.
At least that's being responsible.
Yeah.
Thanks, Purple.
Good on you.
Yeah, either that or...
Wait, what do you mean pay off your credit card?
You know...
Bills. Credit card bills.
Yeah, man. When you use your credit card, you got to pay it off over time. Wait a minute.
You have to pay off your credit card?
What?
Sigh.
What?
I don't know what you're saying
anymore. No, you just max it out.
What?
You know what else... You know
use
what
it
else
to
is
buy
really
money,
confusing
right?
Me.
So yeah, I thought the government paid for your credit card.
Yeah, isn't the
what
government
are you telling
paid for
me right now?
I mean, that's why we pay taxes, right?
Where's this coming from? I'm confused. Did LJ say this?
No.
Wow.
Sounds like something he would say.
Did LJ, like, enforce a tinfoil hat over your head and you just don't know it?
Oh, boy.
The tinfoil hat. Thing.
No, you know what Sam. Else is really confusing to me?
Okay.
This dream I had last night, right?
Oh boy.
Last time you said that, last time you said there was a dream, it was about a Megatahu, and then Bionicle came back.
Oh,
so.
This
and
had
the Bionicle
to
came
do
back.
With
dude, your dream is like the Falcon from Ninjago. Whenever we see it, the fortune comes.
Choose
you know, we just.
Well, I hope this
words.
Doesn't happen. So,
oh boy. Okay, what's here? What's here?
So here's what happens in the dream, right? So I'm in this house, and it's a really nice house. There's like a big window with like a huge view of like a beach and stuff. Well, not really. Actually, not even a beach. More like a view of the ocean. Like, I could see the ocean from there.
There was ocean, but no beach.
And I woke up in the morning in this house, and I'm like, all right, gotta get ready for the podcast. Yeah. So I walk over to my computer desk, and this is already inaccurate, because I don't record the podcast on a computer desk or anything like that. I record on my bed. So, anyway, in the dream, walk over to the desk, I see it's like, oh, cool, just an hour left until recording time. I guess I'll just go grab some breakfast. Go grab a bowl of cereal. I walk back. I look out the window on my way to the computer desk. And I see some people, like, chilling in the water. I don't know why they're in the middle of the ocean, but they're chilling, swimming, having a good time.
Nice.
Then these sea lions come.
Oh.
And at first it's like, oh, these sea lions, they look pretty cool. I mean, just swimming around, playing with the family. One of them leaps up to my window. And I got... Oh, I was on a balcony watching. And then the sea lion jumps up. to the balcony and I accidentally kicked it in the face out of sheer fear.
Aw, that poor sea lion.
Rip sea lion.
I didn't realize that it was a sea lion. I thought it was a monster. But anyway, so the sea lion, he like gets scared and flops back to the sea. So I'm like, okay. And then he tries it again. And this time he tries to bite me.
No.
This time I'm like, oh, nope. So I walk back inside the house, close the balcony door, and I just watch with the wind, with all that closed. And then I see the family. They start to get attacked by sea lions. All these sea lions I thought were playing with them? No, they're playing with them in the same way that you play with your food at the dinner table. Like, these sea lions are ripping this family to shreds, and I'm like, oh my gosh!
They're emotionally blackmailing you. They're like, you come down here, we'll kill this family! I'm not messing around. He's like got the gun to like the family's head.
He's like, hey,
I demand you come down.
Jillian, say that line right. I have your entire family here with the sea lions.
I accidentally triggered the sea lions by kicking their little brother in the face or something.
You
the
kicked
true phase
my
of
child.
Evil right there. Sea lions.
Dude, sea lions actually attack people too. Some like on very rare.
Oh yeah,
occasions.
No, they're pretty aggressive.
No, I bet.
It's like dolphins. You guys know that dolphins are like the biggest like murderers ever. They just kill anything that
dolphins
comes by
are
them.
Just like yeah. I mean, dolphins
they're
are
like total jerks.
Vicious. They're just insane.
I can't horrible. Ever feel like that one story.
What is
that's
the there's the other
dolphins.
There's another animal that's similar to dolphins. They're like that starts with a P. Like a
porpoise.
Porpoise, yes. Porpoises are adorable. They're pretty passive. They're like dolphins but fatter and like cuter. And they just like they swim around and they're just like, yeah, I'm just a porpoise minding my own business, just trying to find my porpoise.
And
dolphins are like, we're the best porpoise.
We will screw you up,
and then,
man.
No, poor porpoise comes over to say hi to a dolphin. That dolphin will kill that porpoise.
Oh yeah, that porpoise.
Just
is
slaughter
dead.
I have never heard of this.
You know, I realized
that.
I
don't
know
dolphins to be friends.
Do you know what, like, I found out the other day was
that
it's actually quite adorable. Like, manatees are actually quite cute. They're like,
what about
sea cats?
My younger sister is absolutely obsessed with manatees.
They're like,
maybe not
they,
as
they
much
reminds me
be.
Of, like, my first dog, Molly. She's, like, 14 years old and she's fat and she just kind of snorts and, like, makes weird noises. Like, oh my gosh. Land dog meets sea dog.
I mean, technically, a manatee is called a sea cow, sure.
Well, my dog is like a cow, but not a cow. It's a brown cow.
If anything, sea lions are like sea dogs.
How now, brown cow?
But anyway, to conclude the story.
Right, conclude your dream for us.
I saw there was a boat next to the family, or not really like right next to the family, because that'd be like the stupidest boat ever. But anyway, I call out to this boat. And the boat, they're like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, no, look, there's danger. Look over there. I'm like pointing to the family getting shredded by sea lions. And then they're like, oh, look at that. We got to help them. So they sail to the family and they save the family. And then it all goes happily ever after. And then finally, I'm like, all right, now I can relax, hop on for the podcast. Apparently 3 hours had passed and I missed the podcast. So I'm like, what? Wait, what? No! And I remember in the dream, I also texted Meso. I'm like, is it too late to join? And I never got a text back. And then I woke up.
Oh. That sucks, man. Fortunately, you are here.
So yeah. Not only did you witness.
I woke up and I'm like, oh, thank goodness. I can make it. That's like the only thing that
dude,
went through
I had,
my mind.
I had I had a weird dream the last couple of days that involved people from the podcast, too.
That's a long dream.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It was really long. I've just been in a coma for the past couple of days.
He lived a whole other life.
A whole other life.
He married, had children, saw his wife pass away. He passed away of old age, and then he woke up, and he's
right.
back here.
It was like Roy from Rick and Morty. I was just like,
yeah,
what?
Exactly.
What? I died at the carpet store? So here's what happened, right? So I took a nap. I've been actually going to bed at like 6 in the morning and then taking naps in the midday. Really bad for my sleep schedule. Here's what happened. So I'm in a restaurant, right? And I'm like looking around. I'm like, oh, cool. Then I see Fleff and Fleff's brother, who I've never met, but in this dream, we're really good friends. So I'm talking to Fleff's brother, and Fleff is also hanging out with one of this random dude. Turns out Fleff is like, I'm just hanging out with this person, it's gonna be great. This other dude thought it was a date, So it's already kind of awkward. So it's becoming this like kind of awkward tension thing between Flaff and this dude.
Flaff, you gotta be more clear next time.
I make it abundantly clear every time I speak to a guy.
I'm not gonna confirm or deny that because I don't know.
I am Fleffy McFriendzone. Nice to meet you.
McFriendzone.
It's so clear. You could practically. Well,
to be fair,
through
in the dream, you were making it clear to him. He just didn't get it. He was just like a clueless dude. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened is that
just
like
all the rest.
He like starts getting, you know, he's like starts getting a little agitated. I mean, your brother like, all right, should we like do something? Should we get Fluff out of here? Before we can say anything, this crocodile comes up and he freaking eats this dude. He just like chews him up immediately. And we're like, not even chews him up, just swallows him whole.
Oh man.
I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. So we're like, okay, well, God, good thing we don't have to deal with that anymore. Let's just have a, you know, let's have a good time.
Yeah,
so,
we're
that-
like crocodile dead.
Right.
well
here's the deal.
That saved me Crocodile from a.
It was Zac Tan in disguise.
That saves me from a restraining order, at least.
Well, you would think
less
so.
Less paperwork.
Guess what? The crocodile can talk. Through his crocodile, he also reveals that he is in love with Flav. And so now, we have to be like, okay, so me and your brother escort you out of it. We're like, let's get out of here. This is becoming a little too fast,
me, it's,
too furious.
The proper grammar is your brother and I.
Yeah, okay, Mom. And so I go and I take.
Oh, wait, I've got questions now.
Mama Var.
Did you make Kahi at
Mamar
build a baby?
No, at the Chinese knockoff version of build a baby.
Yeah,
whatever, so we escort Fluff out. We're Build running through this. Like, for whatever reason, our idea of like taking Fluff somewhere safe is running down the middle of a highway. This busy city. So we're running down, the cars are running past.
Sounds pretty safe to me.
And it's like the crocodile's like dodging, he's coming behind us. And we're trying to find like equipment to build a shotgun. And so in my head, I shot like we're finding like pieces of cardboard and like a piece of like a firecracker and stuff on the road, and we're able to like we're duct taping it together, and we're making like this
totally MacGyver it.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. In my head, like this is how you make like, you know, we're making an emergency shotgun, so this should work. And so we have it poised, and at the last second, Fluff's like, well, guys, the crocodile did save my life from this other dude, and we're like, are you serious right now? And she's like, well, I mean, you know, I don't want to be mean to it. And then we're like, maybe she just doesn't want to eat us. And the crocodile literally goes, I want to eat the both of you. And then also, marry Fluff or something. And we're like, okay, well, this is going to be it. So we,
it's going to be a little complex. You can't be married to somebody and eating them at the same time.
I know. You can't have your wife and eat it too, you know? But anyhow, the dream ends with me, like, I take the shotgun and I we poise it and like we fire it. It's like a freaking rocket launcher. It explodes. I don't even know why in my head's called a shotgun. It's more like a rocket launcher. Freaking explodes everywhere to smoke. We're like, we got it. The crocodile crawls through the smoke and we're like, oh crap. And then I wake up. So rip me, I guess.
Get
I'm
ready
assuming
for
I
part
died.
What the
two.
Heck is with you guys' subconscious mind?
I don't know. I had a dream where I got killed by a train. Like I was on the
Oh, that's amazing! I had a dream where I killed you with a train.
Well, how ironic would it have been if it was a sleep train?
How great would it have been if you both had that dream that night? If I was like, I'm in this train, I'm gonna run over Ben. Like, and then like Ben, you're like,
hey,
what's with this train?
You're the one that's running.
Yeah, Ben's like in this really nice establishment. He's wearing a tux. He's on some sort of date or business meeting or something. All of a sudden, this train out of nowhere.
It's like an Inception. Like, you know how that train just like comes out of nowhere in the middle of the street?
It doesn't even make any like
Inception again.
It doesn't even make any like logical sense.
I'd be down.
It's like he's at the top of a building and like a train somehow comes through, even though these are 200 stories high.
Dreams are dumb.
I had a dream that I went to the shop and bought chocolate and toilet paper. I don't know why.
That is such a boring dream.
You were trying to make a baby mummy.
Oh, I hate those dreams where, like, I have a lot of stress dreams. I'll go into work.
Oh,
and I'll be, like, super late. You know what I'm saying? And everyone's
why are you used to.
Yeah, it's like people are, like, really mad at you.
That's basically what I had. I had a dream I was going to be late to the podcast. I had a dream where Meso took over the BZPC back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of the lamest things to dream about. You dream about going up to your laptop and seeing a website get hacked.
Listen, man, you put a lot of your time into that set. It's like, yeah.
I guess. Mm,
well, hey, a bad dream can be, like, just anything small. It could just be the fact that you go to a party and someone you don't like is there.
Yep.
Is that well? Yep.
I had a dream where I asked out someone I liked, and they said no. And then I realized I was in a dream, and I started laughing at myself because, like, even in my dream, she couldn't actually say yes.
I feel like I heard that one before.
Yeah,
that's kind of a dream where I got married to someone. Sorry to hear that, Kai.
I had a dream I got married to someone, but I didn't know who it was, and I wasn't even at the wedding.
Oh,
so I don't
yes,
know how it
you,
counted.
You told us about that, and it like you had to go into this like pyramid did. Thing, and like there was creatures in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we went on a honeymoon to like to Egypt die. Or something. Giant saber-toothed scorpion cats or whatever. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Meanwhile, I have dreams at work, or I have dreams where I'm like, the most interesting dream I had was like, I was like, I basically was diagnosed with like terminal cancer, and like for the rest of like the dream, I was just doing really crazy stuff in public. Like I went to the store like in a like horse and chariot because I didn't care.
And selling meth.
Sure.
Hey, selling might as well go out with a bang, right?
Yep.
Heisenberg.
Or a horse.
Heisenberg.
Dude, that's really ironic wording there. Have you seen Breaking Bad, Mange?
I have not.
Oh, really?
I cannot believe you said went out with a bang. That's crazy.
Wow, that is
irony.
Insane.
I mean, like it's not an uncommon
yeah,
saying.
I mean, it's a common phrase.
No, I know. I'm just
I know. Ironing. It's just irony because like that's very much like season one right there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play that that Lego browser game, Dreams?
No.
No.
I know it
no.
sounds familiar, but I've never actually played it myself. What was it about?
Oh,
it
was so much fun.
Familiar.
It was okay. So it was a puzzle kind of game where a bunch of minifigures in colored pajamas are walking around, and okay, so they're walking at like a 45-degree angle from you know how you would position bricks on the boards or whatever. So the idea is that you have to direct all these sleepwalking minifigs to their same colored bed, and you had to like lay down bricks to create walls for them to kind of ricochet off of, so to speak.
I did play that game at a very
but you
a
only
very
have so many bricks
time.
To work
yeah.
with.
It was only like when I was really young. I think they took it off the Lego site when I was like pretty early on for me. When I started visiting Lego. I remember that, and I also remember, what was it?
Belts?
It was the one of the robot, Junkbot.
Junkbot.
It was kind of the same thing where you had to, like,
man,
you had to make
I
the...
loved
yeah,
Junkbot for life!
Kind of, yeah. Except Junkbot is more like, it's a side-scrolling, or, yeah, just side view, whereas Belts was more of a top-down.
Lego had a lot of really good games.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, okay, all right. Lego had, back in the day, Lego's games were on point, and now they're not so much anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Dino Attack was one of my favorites.
I forgot about
Dino Attack. Was so
fun.
Dude, my favorite one was Alpha Team. Like, you can drive around.
I was just
going to
say the Alpha Team the ice one. Oh, the transforming
vehicles. They made a freaking RTS for Mars Attacks. That was no joke. That was that wasn't one of the first RTSs I'd played. I'd put like Age of Empires before, but like it was still really awesome. Like, it was a free RTS, you know? And of course, like stuff like Monog and Monog 2, and like you know, like they had really
Monog
stellar.
Monog was boring though. Let's be
remember
real.
It was kind of boring.
Monog sucks. Bionicle sucks.
Knights Kingdom or something like that.
The Knights Kingdom games. Big... Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, but the Johnny Thunder games too, where they had like this whole point
Johnny
and click
Thunder
adventure
was
game.
Pretty good.
That was real fun.
Dude, the World Builder games. World Builder.
I've never played any of those.
There's that one hacking game they had. They had like
Nightfall Incident.
The Nightfall Incident, yeah.
That was one of my favorites all time.
That was those are some great games.
I can still kind of remember my strategy for beating the final boss, and it involved a lot of what were those drain ones that slowed things, or like the super good ones?
I barely remember stuff about that game. I just remember it being fun to play.
Clog, that's it. Thank
freaking
you.
Lego Backlot. Man, Lego Backlot
2.
Oh, do you ever play that?
I remember John's Let's Play of
right
Backlot.
Oh, I forgot about that. I should bring that back. I should do a new one with some people.
Part 2, 3 years later.
We should do part 2, 3 years later. Yeah, just grab everybody on and be like, let's wait again. Takua.
Man, it's weird. You guys are like unlocking like past memories I had buried deep inside
right?
my head.
I know.
I don't even remember these games, but I definitely like looking at screenshots, like they're so familiar that I had to have played them.
Well, back then, like, it's so weird like now, because you know, kids nowadays, they have so many games available to them.
Fair enough.
You're right.
Games have evolved a lot over the years, I've found. Like, Lego's done, like, different priorities in what they do.
No, I discovered a trick early on, too. You know, this was back when, you know, the internet was still kind of finding itself, if you want to call it that. What I found out is, because we still had dial-up at the time, a lot of these games, if you just, like, if you're on the internet, you load them up into your browser, you could disconnect from the internet and still play them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when your parents didn't want you sitting on the internet for hours because it was tying up the phone line, it's just like, you know, when you just check the email for the day, you just pull up the games you want to play in a browser, disconnect, and you're good.
Oh, I remember having a phone line. Like,
yeah, it was like... Do you guys remember having a phone line?
Like a home phone, like a landline almost.
What?
What's a home phone?
It's a phone
for your home.
Anyways, a landline is basically
internet and telephone. That's it. Really.
It's like, okay, you know how, like, when your internet's
really slow? Nobody pays for landline for phones anymore because we all
If you're under 15 and you're listening to this, you probably don't remember the age when dial-up existed. But we were at the tail end of that, I feel like. When I was using the internet, like, as, like, a 6, 7, 8-year-old, we still had dial-up.
I know. I remember taking, like, 4 hours trying to load up a Kids Next Door video game on my internet browser.
Oh, I used to go to LooneyTunes.com, play those games. Those took forever.
When you were playing Monog, you knew when a cutscene was coming because it took a lot longer to load.
Yeah.
there was the thing with Monog, too, where it was, like, they legitimately had a high-quality and a low-quality version just for people that didn't have high-speed internet, you know?
Yeah, I
am. Very kind of them.
I wasn't allowed on the internet until I was, like, 11.
Wow.
Like, I had to sit there and, like, play on MS Paint and the Arthur game. Basically, Arthur is, like, this cartoon kid's show.
Oh, like the books or whatever?
I remember Arthur.
Yeah.
I was a PBS kid.
Those were great.
I had cable
at the
kid.
I used to play,
So, PBS
was like... What was the one... Oh, what's the game Arthur plays in the episode that's about playing the computer game? He's, like, diving for treasure.
Yeah, I remember.
It's not Treasure Cove.
No, it's the one where he's this pirate and you gotta, like, dive for treasure. I totally remember this.
He's like a scuba diver, yeah.
Yeah. There's a Bionic Bunny game too. Freaking Bionic Bunny. Good girl.
It's gonna drive me nuts if I can't... I'm just gonna...
Google away. The podcast. Yeah.
We're Googling this.
Okay, all right.
Let's see.
Well, I mean... Talking about things that was an important part of our childhood that we want to revisit. You guys want to...
I'm having so much fun.
Dude, I remember playing, like, my first video game, and it was Dog's Life.
Oh, thanks, Lev.
What was it?
It was about being a dog and, like, defecating everywhere.
A Dog's Life.
Okay.
Deep Dark Sea.
That's
what it was called.
Deep Dark Sea? That's the name of the game with the dog pooping all over the place?
No!
Remember when you bought that Hamtaro game instead of the Piraka? Good times.
Hamtaro, man.
I remember, I think it was a Disney game. I think it was called Toontown.
That was like one of the first MMOs, wasn't it?
I think it was definitely my first MMO. I remember playing it while watching Naruto, like, on Toonami.
It was not Saturday. One of the first MMOs in history, but it was definitely one of the first ones I played. I played Toontown, Club Penguin.
Yeah, that was like the first one I played too.
There's another one I played back then. I forget.
Club Penguin, old
memories. Club Penguin. I remember my friends.
R.I.P. Club Penguin.
Well, it's not dead yet.
Yeah, I know. It's shutting down. You know, it's crazy. You know, I was always mad I wasn't able to play.
I was like,
yeah, I never played it. It never really intrigued me. So,
I never played Lego Universe.
It could run on my computer, you know?
I played it a little bit after it went free to play. I actually did that really only so I could do the BZ Power Cast. Because we were doing, like, a comparison segment between, it was me and, I think it was Gatanui. Because, you know, they played it for a long time as a paid version. I was like, you know, let's jump in as free to play. We can have, like, a comparison segment. I never played it again after that.
I wish I had, because it seemed like I can't really find too much footage of it online or anything.
If I had had a good computer, I probably would have, but I played the beta and I couldn't run it, and I was like, darn.
From what I remember, it was kind of lackluster, but I just don't like MMOs, so.
Yeah, I remember playing selling like Neopets or something.
Neopets.
Like I do remember that. I didn't play it. My sister did.
I don't remember what that is.
It's like a Tamagotchi. Yeah. You owned your little pet. You did your thing.
I swear I had Neopets. I'm just Googling.
Oh, they were a big deal. I remember.
I had Neopets.
Yeah. Everyone had Neopets.
I didn't.
I remember
Bionicle, dude.
I missed the old
commercials they used to play in like Nickelodeon and stuff.
What's a Bonkle?
I feel like,
oh my gosh, I used to make music videos using the commercials. There.
So did Meso? Did you used to do that too?
Yeah, I did. Music videos.
Yeah, but he didn't use the song Bet on It from High School Musical 2.
You're right. That took some clever craft.
Oh my gosh, that thing is...
Bet on It, Bionicle music video?
Yep, Bet on It, Bionicle music video. YouTube it.
It is a piece of work.
Dude, it is a piece of work.
Whenever Toa do their like their combined power, I always think we're all in this together.
I'm very representative of the person who made it.
No, I was too busy listening to Evanescence Bring Me to Life. I'm not even kidding. That was like my first favorite song.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Edgy.
You were destined for the edge.
Yeah, I was. I was like, I used to like run around when the song was on because I just got too excited.
Wake me up!
You used to
run around the playground singing that?
No, in my house. I used to turn it up on the TV and then like basically like jump around my living room like pretending I was like in some fight scene or something. Don't judge.
All right.
Weirdo. You're a little weirdo.
Right. I'm what proud are you of this, weirdo.
Do we want to switch gears?
I guess switch gears.
Sure, just cut the awesome discussion right here.
I'm asking you if we want to or not.
Like last time. No, you know what? We already made it this far. Bionicle G3, everybody. All right, let's shift. Let's do it.
Beforehand, let's do some plugs.
Let's do it.
And if you'll permit me for a second. I'm gonna shift stuff around and do our Patreon shout out now, because it actually ties into something that we'd like to announce. So for today's shout out, I'd like to give special thanks to one of our patrons, Rory Mann, a.k.a.
Oh.
Jazzman, or Jazzman, or D-Jazzman, or any variation thereof, though technically Jazzman, one of our live studio audience members.
Except there's no laugh track because they're muted. Because
that's right, this is a new thing we're going to be doing from here on out. As you know, if you subscribe to our Patreon, I believe any perk level, $1 will net you this. You're able to join our Discord server, where you can chat it up with TTV in a private Discord environment that's a lot easier to interact with than like on the message board or something. It's a lot easier to get your messages seen. It's kind of laid back, casual chat. We're now doing this thing where we're recording the podcast in this Discord server. So what happens is you're kind of like, it's kind of like a live stream, but for patrons, without actually doing a live stream, if that makes any sense. If you're on when we're doing the podcast, you can pop in the call and you can't talk, but you can listen in live and post in the chat, and we'll see your messages and you can comment and give feedback, etc. It's our way of saying thanks.
And since we are always in a call about 30 minutes ahead of time before the podcast, you get some little extra bonus.
Yeah,
like,
almost like an after show.
Remember when we used to do the after show? Well, this is the before show.
Except this one we're not recording, so no one ever gets to.
Yeah,
it's exclusive.
Even still, it's a cool way to interact.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. I'm glad we're doing it.
And I think we haven't actually decided. I think it's pretty safe to say we can do it for Brickfeed too.
Yeah,
nine times out of ten.
I would say so too.
We record Brickfeed at a much more manageable time for people, I think, because TTV records early at 11:30 Central Time on Saturdays. Saturday mornings, technically, because it's before noon. Brickfeed tends to record midday on Tuesday, not Saturday.
So. Right, Tuesday. We kind of eat in the evening, really. It's like 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Yeah. If you would like to pledge anything at all to our Patreon, which is the goal, by the way, we've said in the past, we really appreciate all the people who donated large amounts because it helps a lot, but the way most Patreons are successful is when everybody donates a very small amount and they do it consistently, like $1. If everybody in our subscriber base did it, we could make this into a full-time job.
Yeah.
So $1 will also net you this cool perk.
If you decided to, like, instead of buying a soda, just decided to give us a soda instead once a month, and if everyone in their channel did it, we would make enough to, like, to legitimately...
We would have no teeth.
Yeah,
we could live off soda.
We could spend all that money on
we could live off the fat of the
bills.
Land.
Buy us a candy bar, audience.
Right. Or you could use that money to pay for a really good dentist.
Now I picture like this TTV parade where like all the fans are on the sidewalk and we're just parading down the street. We just got bottles of soda. We're just sticking on just.
Well, so you can pledge of like a credit card. You can pledge of PayPal. You can pledge of all sorts of stuff.
And you get to join our Discord server and listen to us enjoying our sodas.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
I should crack open a can right now.
I'm gonna drink my soda right now. Mountain Dew, Mango Heat. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah, no, legitimately
mango?
Is.
Mango?
There's Mango Mountain Dew. Yes, there is Mango Mountain Dew, and yes, Mesu is thoroughly addicted to it. Not even like as a like a joke addicted. He's legitimately addicted every freaking day. He's freaking drinking stupid Mountain Dew.
I've never even liked soft drinks. I'm like, I'm 19 years old.
I don't
never
drink
liked
soda
soft drinks up until now.
Dude, I have like I.
If you're talking about the same Mountain Dew flavor that I think you're talking about, I have no idea how you can drink that.
It's good, man.
What's it called?
Mango.
Mango Heat. Mountain Dew.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if I can find it.
Yeah, like that was something.
Yes, I have drinking this
you
before.
You guys will probably not like it near as much as I do.
You're a crazy person.
Is it bad?
I will be honest. It's starting to like. Its welcome is starting to wear off after like.
Oh no! He needs a
seventh carton.
Just like, real quick here before we get into Bionicle D3. Far, do you like mango drinks? Usually, are you like mango?
Mango can
stuff?
Be okay. Yeah, it depends.
Mango's love
like
mango stuff.
My favorite.
But,
man. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Strawberry first, but mango like a close.
Strawberry
second.
Milk is life.
Mango, I feel, is like the best.
Strawberry milk, my man.
Dude,
best flavor.
Oh
out
my
there.
Gosh! One time, I choked on strawberry milk so hard I was breathing it the rest of the day.
What?
Every,
oh, that's how
like,
it's made before.
Like, you know when stuff gets into your lungs and you, you know, you gotta cough it out? Well,
no.
I had choked so hard. You've never swallowed something the wrong way?
I know. I go mean, through that, like, almost every podcast. Coughing
fits. No, like, I haven't, like, got something in my lungs. No, I've swallowed something, like, I mean, I've swam and I've been, like, you know, like, that's about it.
You never, you've never been drinking anything and just accidentally swallowed it wrong.
I know what Takuma's talking
I've, like,
about.
I've, like, coughed, yeah, but I haven't swallowed it wrong.
No, guys, what we should all do is pretend like Takuma's crazy and has no clue what he's talking about.
I'm not gonna play your game. I'm gonna openly say, that is a horrible sensation. I remember
my name is Fluffy
kid,
and I'm a survivor.
I was drinking some Fanta and I was downing it and then something funny happened and I started laughing and before I know it there was Fanta pouring out of my
You're
nostrils.
Choking it up.
Oh boy.
Ew. Oh my gosh. You know what's
and
worse?
It was all fizzy up
Raisin Bran coming out your nose.
What?
Oh no, that's disgusting.
Okay. Did you eat
something the wrong way?
It's like
Were you like
Bran
eating and you swallowed and it came out
raisin
of your nose?
Raisin Bran in your lungs.
It didn't get in my lungs, it went up my nasal passages. There's a difference.
That's like
so
raisin
your
bran
lungs
with
turned into raisins?
That ain't so amazing.
No.
Because I'm not a vacuum.
No. Alright.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
I've lost.
Oh, thanks for donating to our Patreon, guys. And go to our message board, board.ttvchannel.com.
Yeah, there
you
go. Yeah.
I think here,
that
like,
sounded really condescending.
Some raisin
go to our message board, board.ttvchannel.com.
I think somebody joined some Raisin Bran before I said that.
You're watching
Do
Disney
it or
Channel.
You're a loser. Alright, see ya.
Alright.
Next up is Wizards of Waverly Place.
Okay, so Bionicle G3, for the last month or so, month and a half, we've been trying to plan out our ideal Bionicle revival. Now, February's begun, a new month full of new ideas and new discussion. As a recap, what we basically determined thus far, mostly everybody in the cast is on the same page, that if it comes back, it needs to come back as system. We've had debates as to what kind of minifigures we would prefer in that kind of a style, but everybody agrees mostly system is the way to go. Although not necessarily abandoning Constraction entirely.
On that note, we are having a contest for Bionicle system sets on our boards. Again, board.ttvchannel.com. This contest is going through, I believe, next week. So you,
I guess
you have
the 12th is when it ends, right?
The 12th, right? Yeah, so you do have a little bit of time to enter this, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Even if you don't, you should take a look at it anyways. We will be doing a special about it, going over all the entries and the notable ones. But there are some stellar, like, arguments for why Bionicle should be a system theme. Sometimes it's when you say Bionicle system, you, like, you're thinking, oh, I don't know if that would work. But we have stuff. We have seen stuff coming out from this contest that is legitimately good. Like, yeah. Legitimately, I have zero doubts about it being like, system now.
The best way to explain how this contest makes me feel is that beforehand, I didn't want Bionicle to come back. I feel like, you know, I've expressed that in the past. It's better with the fans. LEGO doesn't know how to handle it. They've botched it several times. I now want Bionicle to come back. I really do, because there's a lot of potential to be had in the system form. Seeing what people have done, seeing what kind of life it could have in that system, I think
it
would be
extraordinary. It's been a real eye-opener.
It honestly has
a lot of faith,
and I'm glad we did it so that, like, I feel like a lot of the fandom was on your same page, myself. They're like, still kind of like, I don't want to see it. I want to do a second poll after we're done and seeing, like, after the results of this contest, how many people are open to the idea of Bionicle system? You know, just
totally, because I love because Constraction to death, but it has a negative stigma, and it could break from that if it comes back as system.
I feel like Bionicle's whole thing is a story. I'm okay with it. Now, the only thing that I'm concerned about is the minifigures, but we've talked about that at length for the last couple podcasts.
X is still working on his custom decal, so we'll hopefully have that to show off in the coming weeks. But for now,
that'd be cool.
Hopefully we can.
For now, we've basically discussed the sets. Today, we would like to break into the story once more, or at least the theme past the sets. At least get some discussion going on that front.
All right.
Where should we start, John?
Well, I've got some pitches for you guys. I don't know who else actually came up with a pitch. Is it just me?
Go for
it,
yo.
With an elaborate pitch. No.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. Anyone else have anything before I launch you into mine?
I'm here to throw you
in a ditch.
I'm here to steal your ideas.
That's my pitch.
Okay.
I mean, I've got a whole idea of something planned out, but it's more of a continuation of G2 than G3, and it's something I might want to use in the future.
Yeah,
I would say that
if we're gonna do this, it should the same be thing. You know, it should be a hard reboot. That whole deal, not be tied into it. Okay, so I have two different pitches. Okay, so we can go with either the one. The first one is the one I've been talking about beforehand, and it's basically the idea that the Toa are Matoran beforehand. Essentially, me and Fluff were discussing this the other day too. One of the things that I feel about the Matoran is that I felt they were a little too helpless in terms of, like, you know, what they were doing with the power set. I thought that, like, perhaps the way it would work is that the Matoran, whenever they're kids, as they kind of grow older, they do manifest a little like. Some off powers based on their element. For instance, you know, like in G1, you know, like the Matoran had some powers, quote unquote, based off their element. Abmatoran obviously had more powers than the rest, but like Tamatoran was resistant to fire. You know, like Gamatoran could hold their breath longer underwater and swim better. You know, they all had these little traits to them. So the idea would be that it's kind of like that. It's a bit more varied. You know, like some of the Tamatoran are able to do certain things with fire, like, you know, create like little torches or something, or, you know, do little elemental tricks, but nothing all too grand, except for the Toa. Our six main characters would have no signs of actually having any of that power. And of course, you know, throughout the story, they would then gain the elemental Toa power that they had, you know, they traditionally have. Benefits of this, of course, we already have an install base of characters. All the characters already have a relationship with other characters. So it's not like we're just having a bunch of characters come in and we don't really, like, you know, we have the Matoran group and we have the Toa group and they don't really interact. Because the Toa are Matoran and because they're so closely, intertwined in Matoran culture, it feels more like people from this world are getting powers as opposed to, like, these aliens are coming in and kind of messing all this up. So that's pitch
one. I think
one.
That is important. Before you even get into your second pitch, I'll say that, yeah, I would say that it is important in order for the story to function at its prime if we do the whole Matoran become Toa thing.
Right. I think so, too. But then I came up with another pitch, and I was like, okay, maybe.
Okay.
What do you guys think? Any comments on that so far?
Wait,
we
so
can come back to it later.
Did you say that the Matoran that would end up becoming Toa don't have any powers that are manifested?
Not until they become the Toa. They didn't become Toa, but because they don't have the little abilities.
So, I mean, just to clarify, though, because it sounded like you mentioned that other Matoran do have power. So the ones that end up becoming the Toa are the ones that do not have powers at all.
Right.
So they're outcasts, sort of.
In a sense, yeah. But, I mean, not to the extreme ability, but, like, to the point where, like, almost like they're late bloomers is what everyone's just assuming.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Not outcasts.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that correctly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here's number two.
Excellent.
Number two is that there is on the island of Mata Nui, Sasha Kerto, we can decide which one or whatever. The six Toa arrive. They meet up. They all have the elemental powers. They all do the stuff. The entire island is asleep. And so what they have to do is that they have to go and find and basically awaken each village bit by bit through the events of the story. There's six villages, so there's 12 months in a year. So every 2 months, there'd be a new section of the story released where the Toa go to this village, and they basically, they awaken it, and then all this stuff happens as a part of it. And, like, you can do, like, a whole 2 months worth of world building and stuff with the Toa in that village, trying to awake every... It's almost like it's frozen in time, basically. It'd be tied into the Mask of Time, of course. So, they unfreeze that village to get to know the culture, everything, and they move on to the next village to work on that. There's, like, basically six parts to this story because they're each going to different villages. We're able to do the world building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, based on this first year as we're being introduced to everything slowly. And we can, like, put it out in waves where it's, like,
the village being frozen in time, what do you mean?
Like, they go into the village and, like, it's like if literally the village was just kind of, like, frozen and...
So, like, there's no one living there?
No, people are living there, just frozen. Not living there, quote-unquote. It's like everyone was at the normal day and they're all frozen.
Okay, so it's not like they're all, like, lying on the ground actually sleeping. It's just kind of like they're all in stasis.
So like Pokemon right. Mystery Dungeon.
Sure.
Sort of like yeah!
It's what like is that ancient like city that was like killed off by a volcano? Pompeii,
Like Pompeii.
Yeah. Pompeii.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like Pompeii almost. Yeah.
Like
except
a time
in this thing, it would probably also be like everyone's in stasis, but also like no wind is blowing,
right.
The leaves aren't moving. It's just like
everything's like
dull and lifeless.
The entire
everything's in like suspended in like a paused moment of time.
Sounds neat.
Right.
My main concern would just be that the story would go repetitive.
Yeah, I was about to dang, you stole my thunder.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Flev. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's not that too bad.
I feel like I was thinking this too. I think there'd be an overlying plot with Makuta that would start to build in terms of like the conspiracy and who, what happened with these people and what was going on. That would be built upon and revealed over the course of this. And they would also have to go through different trials or, different things to unlock each village each time.
Who's to say that you can't do both? There's already a precedent where after like a year's worth of time or 2 years worth of time, Bionicle characters leave their current location and go to another one. Who's to say you couldn't start off this
island
Bionicle?
Hopping.
Yeah, island hopping.
That could...
Start off this this G3 with this whole Matoran idea, that aspect, go through with that, and then as they become the Toa, they traverse to another land where this land is in stasis, and that's another one of the... things they have to challenge.
That totally could do. Alternatively, we could like combine the two and have these Matoran that don't have any powers be the only ones that aren't frozen. And they're like, why is this? And they meet each other up and then they try to work and see if they can unfreeze these villages again. So we still have the Toa isolated for a decent amount of time, but we do have them interact with the villagers that because they already know them. There is a whole like movement in order to, to have the world building evolve over that course of time.
Interesting thought.
I like the two different years idea more.
I think it's important to have island hopping in Bionicle if we hope to have it run for a long period of time.
I don't disagree with you.
The trick that G1 always had was making the locations interesting.
I think like the problem is that like we do need to devote at least even a good amount of world building or a couple years to each location. I think that was the detriment.
Agreed.
Mata Nui is the best one because we got 3 years to it. Then we got Metra Nui for 1 year, technically, but we were kind of...
But then you could also say we got 2 years for Okoto. It was planned for 3 years, but after the end of the second year, I can't say that the third year would have really done much to make Okoto this incredible island.
Well, the art book was really nice, so got that going for it.
Which, yeah, but had Bionicle not ended, we probably wouldn't have gotten that art book.
That's true. And I feel like going into it, there is something to be said about the amount of world building you do doesn't necessarily amount in the year. You can still create a whole world in a year and continue to.
In my idyllic Bionicle, J3 would have weekly or bi-weekly website updates with a small piece of concept art and like a little text blurb.
I would say weekly. So here's my idea when it comes to weekly. Obviously, easier said than done. But I would say that like every week there would be, even though website updates, social media updates, it wouldn't even need to be accompanied by a image. Some of them would be, and that would be really nice. But most of them would just be text blurbs, and they would be about random things, almost like a snippet from a Wikipedia article in this world, right? Like they would be like quick summaries and stuff.
Here's some crazy tree. Here's some ancient runes.
Right.
Here's
some weird creature. It's or like even just like process. It's like
weapon making.
You know,
you can even break it down like
the rope maker. You know, starts his day by going, you know, to the thing and, you know, the finding vines.
Yeah, and if we're assuming that we're sticking with the whole, they're going to different villages every 2 months, then they could fill website updates with like that village theme.
Is like if they're going to different villages, they could fill, like, you know, we had the month of fire, so we could have 2 months devoted to building out the fire village and what it looks like.
Right.
And what
life. So instead of just getting one piece of concept art, we actually get like more information regarding the village or the region of fire. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And utilizing world building in that way, we could get away with having multiple locations. Obviously, not like one after the other. We should give time to devote to building out these islands, but we could get away with doing like island hopping after a few years.
I don't mind as long as the island is distinct. I feel like that was part of the reason some of the locations were cool, but they didn't have a distinctness to them in terms of the world building. Mari Nui is a cool idea, but we never actually see anything from it. Voya Nui is an interesting thing because like they're parts in it that's iconic, like, you know, the giant volcano.
Yeah,
we
had a few iconic landscapes. But the village was terrible.
The village, I remember zero of it.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me like someone like had taken a bite out of it. It was like a circle, and someone was like a sandwich, a cookie, and someone just chopped out.
That was it.
Karda Nui basically is just like that village is just non-existent to me.
I liked Karda Nui.
I feel like the closest they came
more time there.
The closest they came was like Metru Nui, where I was like, okay, well, there is some decent amount of world building going here. They did have those the point and click titles where like you had to find the Matoran, your Vakama and stuff.
I do feel like Metru Nui was a vast landscape that actually had people living in it.
And I feel like the thing about Metru Nui is that like Metru Nui legitimately feels like a new location. The rest felt like just like Voya Nui specifically felt like another island, and we already have an island, so why would we need another island?
Yeah.
So I'm totally on board for island hopping as long as we can have a new location that makes sense. That like that actually is like, okay, this is a completely separate thing we could not have on Mata Nui.
Yeah.
Now I just want
the question.
Oh, sorry. Now I was just gonna say, now I just want an MMO now where you can move from island to island.
In a perfect world, yes.
Yeah, sure.
They called that Pirates of the Caribbean Online. Oh. Then they killed it on Talk Like a Pirate's Day.
They should.
You know what was a good piece of media, though, that I think helped with like Metru Nui's world building was honestly those puzzle games for each Toa.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Heck yeah, those things were dynamite.
There were so many different locations to visit in those.
They had each one for each Metru, and those were like the little point and click puzzle games. And you could see like the environment and stuff. It was in there. I thought
it was
really cool.
Pretty genius.
I desperately think that if Metru Nui had a like Mata Nui online game type of game for it, it would be on the list of the most iconic. People would prefer Metru Nui. Some people would prefer Metru Nui to Mata Nui, honestly, because we just didn't get that world filled out. We don't even know how it worked and stuff.
I guess Tempo the real Studios. Question to help us solve our conundrum here is, so we have the Frozen in Time idea, and then we have the Matoran become Toa kind of idea. If we wanted to save Frozen in Time for arc number 2, what would be the threat in arc number 1? And if we can't figure out one in arc number 1, we can just use that for arc number 1.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Because I want to do something different from, like, the deities are asleep. We have to save them. Monsters are attacking the villages.
I have a really quick idea that just pops in my head immediately, it's not really a good one, I can already say, but it's like, okay, so year two, they've gotten to an island where, you know, it's all in stasis or whatever. What if year one, they were trying to avoid that happening to their home? So they have to stop it happening, and then next year they go somewhere else and they have to, like, undo it.
Like a time bomb spreading across the air.
I mean, the bottom line is, you know, oh, there's this big threat, you know, oh, they've come to, you know, freeze our island in time or whatever. Hey, we defeated him. But now there's this other island that he already defeated, you know, we need to go save them. And so
makes sense,
you know,
logically. I'm just not sure how interesting that would be to, like,
it feels like it's two different things, but at the same time it's the same thing, so it could get kind of boring or repetitive.
Maybe.
Or just,
I think not
enough new stuff.
I do feel like the first we have three legendary masks, right? The reason I'm wanting to do time for this one is because the first one very much relied on the Ignica, the Mask of Life. That was Generation 1. Generation 2, the Mask of Creation was front and center, the mask. And so for Generation 3, we should try to think about what we should do for the Mask of Time and, like, how that would tie into the thing. I feel like that would...
And again, I've got, like, this whole big idea that I could of this idea behind the Mask of Time and everything, but I feel like I'm going to want to use that at some point, maybe even for the radio drama thing, but...
Sure.
Enough.
But, I mean, so that's what I would say would be, like, a concept... if we were able to combine those two ideas or something, I don't know.
Let me
do
ask
you guys think?
This.
All right.
For year one, would we want to do something different, or would we want to deliberately play upon the nostalgia of having evil animals, having like animals attack the villages that have been controlled by stuff? Because that could be, it's useful from two perspectives. In the story, it's what people are familiar with. It's how it's opened twice now. And it also enables for a little brick built set Rahi to be in
if,
the set.
If we're moving the system, I would say it's almost a necessity.
Okay.
Maybe just change.
And they need
the,
to be dinosaurs.
What is it? Change the. What's the word I'm looking for?
I believe in
the
you,
context.
You got this. Oh.
Change the context behind the sets, what the sets
the
represent. Because in the sets, I'm thinking, yeah, we can still have the Rahi confrontations and stuff, but the context won't be the same as before, where the Rahi are going out actively attacking villages. Maybe it could be something completely different, like, say, the Toa, or whoever characters we're going to revolve the story on, confront the Rahi as part of a challenge. Like, maybe they're seeking out these confrontations themselves.
So, kinda
like
the creatures,
like,
except hostile and not friendly, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could work out fine.
That actually could be a thing where it's
a
like, I mean, imagine if the elemental creatures were evil, right? And that would be a conflict.
I mean, stuff like that is the best.
A theme along the lines of Johnny Quest.
I have never watched that, so.
I mean,
okay,
sets like that and that style would work the best, I think, because that's kind of how Lego... does the formula. You'd have the little brick built shrine with, like, the mask that they're guarding, and then you have to defeat the evil mind controlled Rahi and, like, knock off the mask, etc. It's like
it writes itself.
It's just familiar. But
I would say,
in system it would
with
be that,
that you get the sets that are familiar to us with the confrontation with the Rahi and stuff, and that leaves you open to make the next year about something more similar to Bionicle's original story.
I do think, okay, so there's several, yeah, I feel like, I do like the idea of having the Rahi be a part of the sets integrally. I do think over time that I was thinking this, I think combining the two ideas, I think the main reason why I'm thinking this is that Bionicle's first year, for all it did right, the actual overall plot was probably the weakest part of it.
G1 or G2?
G1.
Okay.
G1's like first year is like basically the Rahi attack, and then turns out Makuta is the person behind this, and then they Toa seal him, except they don't. They just like all use their elemental powers against him once, and then his shadow tendril thing disappears. And long story short, yeah, I do think that we could actually tie both. I think the Rahi could be a part of the attacking force, and that's why they have to wake up the island. Remember, these Toa are, they're different than the ones beforehand. If we're combining these two ideas, these are Toa. These are Matoran.
What if we pull a Mope and it was like the island has been frozen in time, and in order to save it, the Toa have to go seek out the fragments of the Mask of Time, which is shattered, yeah. And the Rahi are guarding them.
That's exactly it, yeah. The Rahi are either guarding him or the Rahi
are, if they
can
restore the mask, then they can save the island.
Yeah, if anything...
Also...
And what I was also thinking, if we were going to have the premise where these creatures are actively going on attacking the villages, maybe that would be, like, the aftermath of the Toa successfully capturing all the stuff. Like, the Rahi are trying
kind
to get...
Kind of a Borok situation.
Recover those fragments back. Yeah, kind of like the Borok. In a
Borok
sense.
Were effective.
If or, anything, that would be actually, a way to introduce the Borok.
How about, like, yeah. There's a whole thing, like, I like the idea of the Borok. I mean, we could actually just push this in the first year as well. The reason why they're frozen is because the Rahi are coming to clean, the Rahi are, the Borok aren't just, like, one specialized thing. The Borok mentality is spread to all this Rahi, right? The Rahi are coming to cleanse the island of the Matoran. And so the entire villages are frozen, and the Rahi are coming
Matoran
to destroy everything.
Plague.
Right, Matoran are a plague that needs to be... Exactly.
What if the Borok weren't actually, like, the swarm? What if they were, like, just a few individuals that can command?
Right, exactly. Almost like,
so like the elite Rahi, in a sense.
Possibly.
Yeah,
no, I mean, we could have... We could,
like
okay.
Beast Tamer.
Imagine how... You know how, like,
cool.
The Lord of Skull Spiders had that golden mask, and we thought it was going to be, like, a massive control kind of thing?
We thought it was going to be anything significant.
You know what? Don't even make them Borok. Make them Rakshi. Let's bring back the Rakshi, guys.
Honestly,
let's make the Rakshi.
I would say, okay,
warmongers.
I would say the Rakshi. Like, we have the name the Rakshi, except they're not clone sets. Do you remember, like, the Lord of Skull Spiders? How there's a humanoid version of that, where he had,
yes,
like, the spider body, the spider, like lower body, and the upper half is a human. We could combine that concept of a bunch of the other characters as well. So we have one that's a spider. We have one that's like a dragon. We have one like a
minotaur?
Half human. Yeah, like a
yeah,
minotaur. Exactly.
That'd be cool.
Like different. We combine that, you know, with that concept with different. And so the Rakshi are still these formidable foes, but they're actually they have more specialized designs.
And going with this whole beast
exactly.
tamer motif, it would also make the last year set not irrelevant because they could still like command them or like more of the same type. Because
they still have story
Rahi
relevance.
Man.
Yeah, basically.
You guys mentioned minotaurs. I'm like, nah, man, screw that. You got a Nukalavi in there.
No, listen, we
you
can.
Guys
we
ever
can.
Heard of the
I would say that we
I told
would,
you about.
We could legitimately combine these concepts together and create like these monsters that were also, you know, these kind of sentient people who believe that the island should be wiped out and that the thing should start again. That could be a thing like for this generation's Makuta, it could be like that motivation where like, you know, life is a mistake and it was a plague and let's just
life,
wipe everything.
Wipe the slime on away. And start again.
But like, you know, that could definitely be something. We talked a bit years and years ago about if we rebooted about there being a cult of Makuta. Like the Brotherhood of Makuta was literally like a cult dedicated to Makuta and his like, you know, his passion and this kind of thing. So that could also come back into play where there's like this underlying threat of a cult
right.
that kind of believes that life is a plague on
so
this.
So riddle me this. In this hypothetical G3 scenario,
right.
Year one involves trying to save the villages that have been frozen in time by recovering the fragments of the Mask of Time.
Right.
And they're being guarded by Makuta, quote-unquote, minions.
Right.
Year two involves the more elite versions, the Rakshi coming to do what? What is their goal?
Actually, I mean, if I'm being honest, I was thinking about them. This is all in the same year, like the same year or 2 year period. Like the story would be spread out over 2 years.
So Rakshi wave two?
Rakshi would be wave two, yeah.
Okay, so still part of year one.
Still part of year one.
All right.
Essentially.
Makes sense. In which case, what would year two be?
Year two, so we're going to go with a standard 3 year thing, right?
Yes, at least to start with.
So here's what we could do. We could do the island hopping, or we could stay and see what else is on the island. Or we could do a thing where it's like connected to the island and yet not. Like
we should,
how much?
No, we should definitely not hop islands after 1 year.
Okay, so let's think about this, definitely right? Metronui was this was the whole concept was like it was underneath Mata Nui. So let's do the thing where they're just like they did in G22, the ancient city underground. And there's this whole group of people that are kind of like sealed underground and everything. And so there's this whole other deal
kinda
going
like
on.
Mountain Glen from Ruby, in a sense, except better done.
Sure. Cool. Yeah. And so they would still be connected. It would be smaller than Metronui, but it would still be this thriving city, this different kind of environment underground that they go to. Conversely.
Are they Matoran or are they some new race?
They could be a new race too.
Hashtag Skull Raiders.
They could be different types of we could bring out different species, Skakdi and you know, all the other different races. We could also do something like maybe something either below or it could be even in the clouds. Like imagine there's a floating city.
I thought of that and I was like, ew.
I like that idea a lot, in terms of a floating city. Like the kind of the inverse of Voya Nui, where like, you know, how Voya Nui had Mara Nui sink all the way below. It could be the other way around, where like there used to be a city
had a lot of really interesting elevated rules and like guidelines to their world. They just didn't spend enough time. Like the whole concept of like having to get air bubbles to like venture out and like
It was like it's an interesting idea, but
they just didn't do much with
it. We could do one of those things where it's like it's another civilization or like even another race, and it's not a new island, but it's connected. It's a different place of the island, different area of the island that they haven't really found yet.
Okay. What if there was like some chunk of the island that was just like inaccessible throughout the first year, whether it's from, you know, some big energy bubble or, you know, some other means?
It could be or there could be like an actual like time bubble around that thing, and like it's always been around and people haven't noticed it. Once they unlock everything with the Mask of Time, then they're able to access that.
I mean, that makes sense. I guess I'm really just wondering if we're going with the idea that they're able to recompile the Mask of Time in year one, where does that leave the rest of the 3-year plan? Like, what's the goal if time is the key and they already have the Mask of Time? What are they... I'm just trying to brainstorm, like, what would they be striving to achieve, per se, with that? That may require some more thought.
That's a good question.
Maybe each year they need to collect a different mask that would...
I like that part about G2.
That would each solve something wrong with the world. So say year one's about being frozen in time, so they collect the Mask of Time. Year two, the island is also shrouded in darkness, so they collect the Mask of Light. Year three, the island's dying, so they collect the Mask of Life, or something like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's derivative, but I think that concept works best for Bionicle, having a mask.
Yes,
that was one thing I really did appreciate about G2.
Yeah,
they
each had a powerful mask each year that you could like kind of combine.
It made you want to collect it, basically. Like,
yeah,
so this is the big thing for the year. So, sure, maybe not necessarily those exact masks. I know you use those because they're familiar, and it does make sense that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
I do agree that there should be at least some kind of like powerful mask that the Toa are trying to
collect.
We can bring back the Toa Kaida too. Like imagine there's three masks and the Toa have to combine to use.
Oh yeah.
For as awesome as the Toa Kaida seemed in G1, I felt like they weren't utilized enough.
They totally weren't. They were dropped like almost right out the gate.
They were. And it's so frustrating to me because I felt that they should have come back in 2008 or like when they were focusing on the Toa Nuva again.
Yeah,
instead of
doing like 2008's like re-skin of the Toa or like the redesign of the Toa, they should have just done like the Toa Kaida and the... I can understand why they didn't.
Something.
Because of the set count would be lower.
It made sense for them to drop them after the initial Toa/Toa Nuva arc because the Toa Metru, you know, first time around, they're all new. They're going to use their powers. They don't have that unity. Second time around, they're a bunch of beasts. They're not in a place to be able to, you know, connect like that.
So, all right, so let's
a distinct lack of unity throughout kind of their entire story span.
Let's think about...
After that... No reason why we shouldn't have.
I think that might be a cool thing where like two Toa have to like kind of fuse together. It's kind of how, you know, Takanuva and Makuta did, and how it was three Toa in the original, but I feel like because we have 3 years and we have six Toa, we could do two, two, two. Unless we decided, like, we were talking beforehand about cutting one of the Toa and there only being five characters. So,
yeah, come back to that.
Yeah, we do have to come back to that at some point. But just, like, as a concept, we'll come back on this. We'll touch
combine on it later. Kopaka and Pohatu, and together they can be
Kotu.
Kopatu.
but like together, like, all their powers combined, etc. And what I'm actually thinking is that, like, the combined versions of Toa Kaida could actually be, like, the mech-built kind of system thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That would be dynamite. Yeah.
And then they actually have the Mask of Time, and the Mask of Creation, and the Mask of Life.
The construction set could be, like...
Like, a Mixel joint kind of...
I mean, there could be both.
There was a Braconical entry that had some dynamite Toa Kaida.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it so much. Well, all right.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, there's definitely a lot to think about and digest, so.
Do we want to end it there?
I mean, sure.
Probably.
Anyone have any preference to one of these ideas? What stands out to you, Var? Like,
I think all these ideas sound great together. I feel like there's a way to implement pretty much everything that's been suggested here into one line and have it be pretty successful. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot to think about. I think I would want to go back and listen to this again and sort of, like, streamline everything and
put the pieces together.
We should definitely be, like, next week we should be, like, ironing out all the kinks and being like, what is this, what's
not? Our
major
thinking point for between podcasts should be what the goal of this initial 3-year run is. What's the overarching plot?
Right.
We know that Makuta wants to cleanse the island of villagers. But how will he go about doing that after we unfreeze the island? And what exactly are the Toa's goals to stop? Right. That should be our thoughts.
Right.
And we can tweak the ideas if necessary. Obviously. But so far, this has been a productive little episode of ours. So thank you all very much for listening to episode 233 of the TTV Podcast. It's been great. Stay tuned next week as we continue our journey into Bionicle G3. And as always, thank you for your support. Feel free to check us out on the message boards at board.ttvchannel.com and share your thoughts on how you would like Bionicle G3 to be handled, or in the comments section below. And additionally, finally, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thetvchannel and consider supporting us in any capacity in order to receive a bunch of cool perks. The new one being introduced this episode is obviously if you pay $1 or above, you get access to our Discord server where you will now be able to listen to the podcast live as it is being recorded and live commented.
And I gotta say, this first little test that we've done here, I've really enjoyed it. The commentary on the chat has been really fun to read.
Yeah, it is really cool having that live feedback, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like, I noticed there were a lot of instances where, like, we were on the cusp of, like, thinking of something, like, we were trying to, like, remember what something's called, for example, or something, and then someone, like, in the chat says it. Yes, exactly. Right. And someone in the chat said it. It's like, oh, there we go. It was great.
It was really cool. Those
comments we get after we record the podcast being given to us before we record the podcast.
Exactly, right? Know? Yeah. It's actually...
It's pretty neat.
It's a nice way to fact check, so I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. For now,
it's real fun.
That is all for today's episode of TTV. Stay tuned next week, and goodbye. I'm Mesa.
I'm Rotoran.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ben.
I'm Fluffy.
I'm Takuma Nuva.
And to the untrained ear, I'm also Takuma Nuva. I'm just kidding. Tell me about this.
Oh, man. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye. All
right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Will you be my mommy?